Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right, let's dive into Kraft Heinz's third quarter of 2024. You guys have given us a pretty pretty fascinating mix of stuff to dig into here. We got the earnings call transcript, we got the 10Q itself, and we even got some details on their credit agreement.
Yeah, credit agreement amendment.
So
it's a good mix.
Let's see if Kraft Heinz is cooking up something special this year.
See what they're cooking up. It's a really interesting combination of sources. You know, you get not only kind of their public face, but also a little bit of a glimpse into the internal workings and financial maneuvering.
Absolutely. So let's start with I guess what Kraft Heinz wants us to know, right? The earnings call transcript, right?
Right.
The CEO, Carlos Abrams Rivera, he called 2024 a unique year, basically saying that consumers haven't quite swallowed all those price increases yet.
Right. And that brings up, I think, a crucial question for Kraft Heinz, which is how do they convince shoppers that their products are still worth the price?
Right.
And their strategy seems to be focused on base volume growth, so meaning selling more products rather than just relying on discounts and promotions.
So less buy one, get one free, more.
Yeah.
This is a premium product you'll love.
Right, exactly.
But they did mention using promotions strategically.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of curious to see what that looks like in practice.
Yeah, I think they're trying to walk a tightrope. They want to maintain that perception of value, but also protect their profit margins.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how they balance those two.
Well, speaking of things that are interesting, let's talk about, I don't know, the elephant in the room, or maybe the Lunchable in the room. They took a pretty hefty charge related to that brand.
Yeah, that definitely raised some eyebrows.
Yeah.
It suggests there are some internal concerns about Lunchable's ability to fully recover, even though publicly they seem to be pretty optimistic.
It makes you wonder what challenges they're facing with that brand.
Right.
The 10Q doesn't really get into specifics, so we're kind of reading between the lines a little bit.
Exactly. And speaking of reading between the lines, we should talk about those goodwill and intangible asset impairment charges.
Oh, yeah. Those definitely caught my eye, too.
Yeah.
It's not every day that you see a company essentially admitting that some of their assets are worth less than they thought.
Yeah, it can be a sign of a company reevaluating its brand portfolio or acknowledging that, you know, past acquisitions haven't lived up to expectations.
So are they hinting at potential divestitures?
Yeah.
Are they hinting at a shift in their brand strategy?
It's certainly a possibility, especially considering they've also reorganized their international segment into three distinct operating units, EPDM, WEEM, and AEM.
Right, yeah. It seems like they're really trying to get more granular and targeted in their approach to different global markets.
Yeah, absolutely. By creating those separate segments, they can tailor their strategies more and potentially streamline their operations.
So we've got pricing pressures. We've got question marks around Lunchables. We've got asset impairments and a global reorganization. It sounds like they got a lot on their plate.
And don't forget the looming global tax reforms.
Oh, yeah, right.
Specifically, the OECD's two-pillar plan.
Taxes.
Yeah.
Not exactly the most
thrilling
topic, but I guess it's important.
Yeah.
Can you give me a quick rundown of what this OECD plan's all about?
Essentially, it aims to ensure multinational corporations pay a fair share of taxes regardless of where they operate.
Mm.
One pillar focuses on where companies have customers, and the other sets a global minimum tax rate.
So Kraft Heinz might need to rethink its global tax strategy.
They are. They are. The 10Q doesn't give any specifics, but they're definitely analyzing the potential impact and likely preparing for various scenarios.
Makes sense. Let's move on to something a little more familiar.
Yeah.
I think pension plan contributions.
Right.
They made contributions to both U.S. and non-U.S. plans this quarter.
Yes. And it's important to understand the implications of these.
Right.
These contributions are a significant financial commitment.
Yeah.
But they also reflect Kraft Heinz's responsibility to its employees.
It's a balancing act, taking care of their workforce and maintaining a healthy financial position.
And speaking of balancing, let's talk about their hedging strategies.
Yeah, let's do it.
They're using a variety of financial instruments to manage risk, particularly when it comes to commodity prices and currency fluctuations.
Seems like they're really trying to navigate a pretty volatile global market right now.
Absolutely. And the effectiveness of those hedging strategies can vary greatly depending on market conditions and the specific contracts they use.
Yeah. The 10Q does provide a breakdown of how those strategies impact their financial statements.
Yeah.
But it's not always easy to see the full picture.
Agreed. It requires a deeper analysis to really understand how well those strategies are working.
Okay. Before we before we move on to other areas of the 10Q, let's touch on their recent credit agreement amendment. They extended the maturity date of their senior credit facility from 2028 to 2029.
Right.
Okay.
That move suggests they're being proactive about managing their debt and seeking more financial flexibility. It could indicate that they have plans for future borrowing or simply want to avoid refinancing pressure in the near term.
It's like they're giving themselves a little bit of breathing room, financially speaking.
Exactly. And that's something we'll want to keep an eye on as we continue to, to go through this deep dive.
So we've covered a lot of ground already, from consumer behavior to global tax reforms to the nitty-gritty of their financial statements.
Yeah.
It's clear that Kraft Heinz is operating in a complex and ever-changing environment.
Yeah. Yes, and understanding those complexities is essential for anyone who wants to make informed decisions about the company, whether you're an investor or an employee or just a curious consumer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now let's take a closer look at some of the finer details in the 10Q, including their use of non-GAAP financial measures like organic net sales and adjusted EPS.
Okay.
These can be a bit confusing, so let's break them down and see what insights they offer.
Yeah, happy to unpack those. It's important to remember that non-GAAP measures aren't intended to be misleading, but rather to provide additional context that can be helpful when analyzing a company's performance.
Okay. I'm ready to learn more. Let's dive into the world of non-GAAP metrics and see what they reveal about Kraft Heinz's underlying business.
Let's do it. So let's take organic net sales as an example. Kraft Heinz uses this measure to strip out the impact of currency fluctuations, acquisitions, and divestitures.
So it's like looking at a cleaned up version of their sales numbers, removing the noise from those external factors.
Exactly. It gives investors a clearer picture of how the core business is performing, regardless of those outside influences.
Makes sense. And what about adjusted EPS? I always wondered what they adjust it for.
They typically adjust for one-time items that might distort the traditional earnings per share figure. This could include things like restructuring charges, impairment losses, or gains and losses from discontinued operations.
So it's a way to smooth out the bumps and get a more consistent view of their earnings performance.
Precisely. And that can be helpful when comparing performance across different periods, especially when there have been significant events that impact the GAAP numbers.
Mm, okay, I'm starting to get a better handle on these non-GAAP metrics. Now, the 10Q also talks about their contractual obligations and the commodity trends affecting their business.
Yeah.
How do these factors play into their future outlook?
Well, they've outlined their aggregate contractual obligations, which include things like debt repayments, lease commitments, and purchase agreements. These obligations give us some insight into their future cash flow needs.
Right. It's like peeking into their financial calendar and seeing what bills are coming due.
And then on the commodity front, they're facing a mixed bag of challenges and opportunities. They acknowledge that they buy a lot of raw materials like dairy, meats, sugar, and packaging materials.
So they're exposed to price swings in those commodities.
Absolutely. And they're also a big energy consumer, which adds another layer of volatility.
It sounds like managing those input costs is a constant battle for them.
It is. And the 10Q highlights some specific trends that are impacting their business. For example, they mentioned higher costs for dairy and packaging materials.
So are they passing those higher costs on to consumers through price increases?
They've implemented price increases in some categories, but they're also trying to mitigate those costs through their hedging strategies and operational efficiencies.
It sounds like they're walking a tightrope trying to balance profitability with affordability for consumers.
Exactly. And that brings us back to the question we discussed earlier about how they're going to convince shoppers that their products are still worth the price.
Right. It's all about perceived value and whether consumers are willing to pay more for their favorite Kraft Heinz brands.
Now, shifting gears a bit, remember that hefty charge related to Lunchables we talked about earlier?
Yeah, the one that made us wonder if the brand was in trouble.
Well, despite that charge, the CEO at Werner spent a lot of time on their earnings call talking about innovation within the Lunchables brand, specifically their new Brunchables breakfast line.
Brunchables. Interesting. So they're trying to expand beyond the lunchtime market.
Exactly. They see it as a way to tap into new eating occasions and potentially reach a wider audience.
It's like they're saying, don't count Lunchables out just yet. We've got some new tricks up our sleeve.
And that's a great example of how even established brands can find ways to reinvent themselves and stay relevant.
So innovation is one potential bright spot for them. What other opportunities are you seeing on the horizon?
Well, Kraft Heinz is a massive company with operations all over the world, and they see a lot of potential in leveraging that scale and global reach.
Right. They're not exactly a small niche player.
They're focusing on what they call global platforms, which means identifying product categories where they can use their existing infrastructure and expertise to expand into new markets.
So instead of just thinking about individual brands, they're looking at broader product platforms that can travel across borders.
Exactly. One example they highlight is their taste elevation platform, which includes things like condiments, sauces, dressings, and spreads. They believe there's a lot of untapped potential for those products in emerging markets.
It makes sense. They can leverage their existing manufacturing capabilities, supply chains, and marketing knowledge to introduce those products to new consumers.
Precisely. And they're also looking at their Easy Ready Meals platform, which includes Kraft mac and cheese, frozen potato products, and other frozen meals. They see an opportunity to expand those products into more on-the-go and convenient formats.
So they're not just thinking about geographic expansion, but also format innovation to meet evolving consumer needs.
Exactly. And that's one of the key takeaways from this deep dive. Kraft Heinz is operating on multiple fronts, trying to balance global reach with product innovation, financial discipline, with strategic growth initiatives. It's a complex picture, but understanding these various pieces helps make sense of their current performance and future prospects.
Absolutely. We've covered a lot of ground today, from consumer behavior and brand performance to global tax reforms and financial strategies. It's been a fascinating journey through their financial statements, earnings calls, and even their credit agreement.
And for you, our listener, this deep dive equips you to go beyond the headlines and analyze Kraft Heinz's performance with greater insight.
So as we wrap up, what's the one big question we should all be pondering as we watch Kraft Heinz navigate the year ahead?
Here's a thought. Can Kraft Heinz successfully balance short-term profitability with the investments needed for long-term sustainable growth? Their recent moves suggest they're trying, but the ultimate answer lies in their execution and ability to adapt in a constantly evolving marketplace.
Yeah, it really is a balancing act for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a company with a long history, iconic brands,
mm-hmm.
but they also need to keep innovating and evolving
right.
to stay competitive in today's market.
Absolutely. Mm. They can't just rely on nostalgia or their existing product portfolio. Mm-hmm. They need to be forward-thinking and anticipate those changes in consumer preferences.
Right. It's like they're trying to steer a giant ship in a new direction.
Right.
It takes time.
Exactly.
And careful maneuvering.
It does. And that's what makes it so fascinating to watch what they're doing. They're not just sitting still.
Right.
They're actively trying to shape their future.
Speaking of strategic decisions.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about their segment reporting changes yet.
Right.
They reorganized their international segment into three distinct operating segments.
Yes.
EPDM, WEAM, and AEM.
That's another sign of them trying to become more nimble and responsive to different regional markets.
Mm-hmm.
By separating those segments out, they can get a much clearer picture
right.
what's working and what's not.
So it's like they're zooming in on specific areas of their global operations and getting more granular in their analysis.
And that allows them to tailor their strategies more specifically and allocate resources more effectively.
So it's all about making smarter, data-driven decisions, right?
Exactly. Now, one final piece of the puzzle that we need to consider is their discussion of commodity trends and how those are impacting their business.
Right. They're a big buyer of raw materials. So those price fluctuations can have a significant impact on their bottom line.
Absolutely. Yeah. They talked about higher costs for dairy and packaging materials,
right,
which are putting pressure on their margins.
So how are they managing those cost pressures?
Well, they're utilizing a combination of strategies. They've implemented price increases in some categories, but they're also trying to find ways to offset those costs through operational efficiencies and their hedging programs.
Sounds like they're trying to thread that needle between protecting their profitability, but also keeping their products affordable for consumers.
Exactly. That's the challenge that a lot of companies in the food industry are facing right now.
Well, we covered a lot of ground today, from Lunchables and Brunchables to global tax reforms and credit agreements. It's been a thorough examination of Kraft Heinz's third quarter performance and their strategic outlook.
Yeah, it has. And for you, our listener, this deep dive has provided a framework for understanding not only what happened, but also why it matters and what it might mean for the future of Kraft Heinz.
So as we close out our deep dive, what's the key takeaway you hope our listeners walk away with?
I think the key takeaway is that Kraft Heinz is at a crossroads. They're a company with a rich history, iconic brands, but they're also facing significant challenges and opportunities in today's rapidly changing marketplace. How they navigate those challenges and capitalize on those opportunities will determine their success in the years to come.
Really makes you think. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into Kraft Heinz.
Thanks for having me.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.